Evening, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John's Gospel. I'll turn to John chapter 19. Jesus has been brought before Pilate, and this is after Pilate had sent him to Herod, which we studied a little bit briefly on Sunday afternoon. And now he is back before Pilate as Herod sent him back. As he comes back before Pilate, it's interesting, the account we're going to read this evening. There's a lot of times where you probably in your life have felt God's conviction on you, and yet you don't act. And there's a lot of people that feel God's hand of conviction drawing them to himself, opening them up to understanding of truth, and yet they refuse to respond to truth. One of the saddest commentaries in all of Scripture is when the Apostle Paul stood before King Agrippa and shared the gospel with him and shared what it meant to be a believer. And Agrippa said, "Almost this day you have persuaded me." And that is so sad that a man could come so close to eternal life and yet turn back. As we look at the account that is given of Jesus standing before Pilate, where Pilate is going to ultimately send him to the cross, we see the same play working out in the life of Pilate. Already, the first time Jesus was brought before Pilate, remember, the Lord was standing before him, and Pilate made the statement, "Well, what is truth?" And part of that may be as he is seeing Jesus, and there's nothing he can see that he has done. There is no error or sin or rebellion against Rome, against man, or against God in Jesus' life, and yet Pilate is in this dilemma. And oftentimes we may feel the same situation, being pressured by the world to act one way when we know in our hearts we should act another. I want you to see the great, terrible response that Pilate gives to this dilemma and yielding to the world instead of giving in to God. So let's take a look at the lesson this evening. And I want to pick it up just in verse 38 of chapter 18 to lead into chapter 19. And Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And he's speaking to Jesus. And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, that is the Jewish leadership, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all." Okay? I want you to see that phrase. Pilate makes that phrase more than once in our text this evening. "I find in him no fault at all." Okay? And then he goes on to say that it's a custom of Rome to let one prisoner go at the Passover in honor of the Jewish celebration of the Passover. And is this the man that they should let go because he claims to be their king? And wouldn't they want him? And instead, they ask for Barabbas. And we see that in verse 40 of chapter 18. "Then cried all again, saying, Not this man." And it's interesting. They call him this man. And to this day, the Jews call him the man or that man. They do not refer to him as Yeshua, which means the anointed one or the Messiah, or the one that is whom salvation comes, that by him salvation comes. They refuse to refer to him by his name. Instead, the rabbis and those that say they're believing Jews refer to him as the man. And they refer to him here as the man. And he said, "But give us Barabbas." Now, Barabbas was a robber. Not only was he a robber, he was an instigator. He was someone who was trying to usurp and cause the people to rebel against Rome. He was everything that should have caused Rome to put him to death instead of Jesus. And yet they call for him. This one that's an insurgent, the one that's a robber, the one that has done and committed many crimes. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. Now, he's going to take him and scourge him and thinks that perhaps this will satisfy them. If he shows them some means by which he's penalizing Christ, even though he's made the statement, I find no fault in him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and so they're mocking him. And they mock him and make him to be out as some type of royalty to have this crown, but it's a crown of thorns. All this was said would happen in the prophecies given hundreds of years before this event occurred. And you would think that the Jewish leaders, as they saw this being played out before them, would remember the word of God. But the problem is, these Jewish leaders had no desire to be associated with the word of God. They wanted to have their own agenda apart from God's word. And they manipulated God's word for their own purposes, and they did not study God's word. And we see the same thing happening today in many people's lives, where they manipulate the word of God for their own ends, but they don't study it, nor do they apply the truth that is right before them. So as Jesus is having all this played out right before them, and sees all these events happening, which have been foretold by the prophets of old, they totally ignore it all. And so the soldiers do this, then they mock him. It says in the Gospel of Matthew that they bowed down before him and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And then they smote him on the face. So they not only totally mocked him with their words and their actions, but with the way that they treated him as well. Now, what is Pilate's response going to be to this? Because Pilate is the one supposedly in control. Now, I want you to see this. A lot of times the people that you think are in control aren't in control. And sometimes the people that think they're in control over the people that think they're in control that aren't in control, who's really in control? God's in control. And if you look at this whole situation, ultimately, who is in control of this situation? It's Jesus. Jesus is in control. He does not respond to any of the things that happen to him the way that a person would normally respond when they're being having things done to them that are totally wrong and should never have occurred. He doesn't strike back. He doesn't even speak. Nor does he show his authority, which would enable him to reveal to them he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He could have smitten them all dead. He could have had angels come and deliver him. He could have had angels come and strike them. But he did none of it. Because he had committed to paying the ultimate price for us, even though the words of Pilate are absolutely correct. There is no fault in him. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, that is the Jewish leadership, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. The second time that Pilate says this, and the second time that he brings him before the Jewish leadership, and he's saying to them, which is the pressure of this world system, the pressure of Satan, I find no fault in him. What's your response? Then came forth Jesus wearing the crown of thorns, the purple robe, and Pilate saith to them, Behold the man. Okay? So behold, this is the man that you have claimed, I find no fault in him. Again, the second time. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The third time that he says this, I find no fault in him. But if you want to crucify him, take him and crucify him. In one of the other scriptures, it says that he turned and washed his hands and says, I'm washing my hands of this man's blood. I find no fault in him. But the problem is, he had the ability and the power to set him free, and it didn't do any good to just say, I'm washing my hands of the decisions I'm making, even though the truth is evident before me, and I'm verbalizing the truth before all the witnesses that are there. They're pressuring me to crucify him, but I'm going to try and wash my hands of it. I'm going to say, you crucify him. Now, this is an amazing statement because the Jewish leadership can't crucify anybody. They don't have the power to do it. As a matter of fact, they'd be in big trouble if they put Jesus to death themselves, because they could be accused of murder by the Roman government, because they did not have the power to condemn men to death. That power had to come from Rome. And also, if you look at what they were saying, crucify him, crucify him, if in truth he was a blasphemer, which is one of the main statements they made to Pilate, that he had violated their law, if you go back and look at the law, those who blasphemed were not to be crucified, because that wasn't a mode by which the Jews were to put a blasphemer to death. He was to be stoned. And that was their means of punishment that God had given them in the law. So that not only do they violate the law by totally ignoring who Jesus is, ignoring what the law says about him, ignoring what the prophet says, but they even ignore what their own law says. If he truly had blasphemed and violated the law, to have him crucified by the Roman government would be a violation of their own law. So they don't care. They really don't care. They just want Jesus silenced and out of the way so that they can go on, and they feel that then, once he's silenced, an end will be put to it all. They can go back to their own greed and their own manipulation and their own power structure, and won't have to deal with Jesus condemning them. And so they are quick to come to agreement with the means of Rome's putting to death by the crucifixion. And so then saith Pilate, verse 8, when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. And what saying was that? The Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Now I want you to see something, the statement that says, and by that statement Pilate was even more afraid. Why would he be more afraid? Because he truly saw that Jesus was the Son of God. And if Jesus said he was the Son of God, it must be so, because there's no fault in this man. And this is why they say they want to put him to death. And Pilate, fear is coming into his heart, because he has a choice to make. And the amazing thing is, no matter what the circumstances in life, we make choices. And Pilate could have made a choice. Now the choice may have been, if he would have said, I'm going to set Jesus free, there probably would have been an insurrection that would have been surmounted by the religious leaders of the Jews, there where they would have got the people all worked up, an insurrection against Rome, which meant he would have had to deal with consequences from Rome. And so this is the pressures he's facing. But he's in great fear as he looks at Jesus. This is the Son of Man, a Son of God. And he went into the judgment hall and says unto Jesus, whence art thou? In other words, who are you? Are you who they say they are? But Jesus gave them no answer. And sometimes no answer is more convicting than all the words in the world. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus knows our hearts. He knew Pilate's heart. He knew the struggle that he was going through. And then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee and have the power to release thee? Now, did Pilate have the power to do that? Who's in control? Jesus. He doesn't have the power. Pilate doesn't have the power. And Jesus is going to make a statement that shows who's ultimately in control. Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." Okay? The greater sin than what? Than what Pilate's about to do. And the thing is, he's stating exactly what Pilate wanted him to state earlier, but now he's stating it in a manner where Pilate thought, well, I'll show him. I have the power to crucify you or let you go. Speak to me. And then he says, you have no power at all. And a matter of fact, Jesus probably spoke it in a very soft and controlled voice and saying, you have no power. Power comes from above. And you can imagine the fear that was in Pilate's heart as he heard those words. He is who he says he is. And from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him. Now, it's interesting. Sought to release him. He just got done saying, I have the power to release you. Well, then release him. But he doesn't because the pressure of the world is so great. You know, there's people today that can see individuals and they know that what they are doing is wrong and they have the ability to choose not to do it, but instead they make the wrong choice and continue to go down the sinful road. That's exactly where Pilate was. And from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." Now, Pilate, the Jewish leadership played their card where they knew that Pilate was beholden to Caesar, and Caesar had control over Pilate. And if it got back that Pilate had violated Caesar's authority, he would be in big trouble. But the question is, is it worse to be in the trouble with a political leader who only has control over our body in this world, or in trouble with God who has control over our soul? And the Lord talks about this. He says, fear the one who has a power over your not only your body, but your soul as well. Fear the one that you will have to stand for and give account. Can you imagine Pilate standing before Jesus on the great white throne judgment and having to give this account? And he said, but I tried to release you. I tried to release you. And not his own words will convict him. Don't you know I have the power to release or crucify you? And then he tries to release him but doesn't. And so his own words will convict him. But he says, when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha, and it was the preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. Now, there were no truer words that were said by these priests than that. Because their king was ultimately not only Caesar, but the force that was behind Caesar, which is the god of this world, Satan. They have no king. God is not their king. Satan is their king, and they do his bidding. And that's exactly what was going on here. And Satan thought, I'm about to win. I'm about to win. But he wasn't winning. He was about to lose everything. And it says here, then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. He was crucified, and Satan's doom was sealed. The penalty was going to be paid for man's sin. Satan's insurrection was going to be dealt with for eternity at the cross of Christ, where man would be redeemed and Satan's rebellious spirit that he had placed in the hearts of Adam and Eve would be dealt with, and they could either, man could once and for all choose to be forgiven or choose to be condemned. But ultimately the choice would be man's to choose because of what Jesus did for us. In not saying, okay, I am the Son of God and you cannot crucify me, but instead willingly as a lamb that's led to the slaughter. It's interesting, it says that this occurred during the sixth hour of the Passover. The whole events that were leading up to this, do you realize that Jesus was the Passover lamb? The Passover lamb was, the lambs were to be brought before the priest to be examined to make sure that they were pure, that they weren't sick, that they weren't injured, and that they could have the right to be sacrificed as a Passover lamb. Jesus was brought before the high priest to be examined, and he was found to be who he said he was, without sin and pure, on three occasions brought before them, on three occasions brought before, two before Pilate, one before Herod, all occasions found to be innocent, to be pure. He was examined and then he was taken and prepared to be sacrificed for you and me. Just as the lambs were being sacrificed in commemoration of the deliverance that occurred from the land of Egypt, for the nation of Israel was brought out from under the control of the world system into God's camp, you and I could be brought out from under the control of this world system into the Lord's house through the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, come to take away the sin of the world. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, help us to understand these principles and truths. Help us to see we all have choices. Pilate had a choice. He could have made the right choice. He even stated he had the power to make it, but yet he chose to try and defer it to someone else and blame them. Lord, one day he will stand accountable for his actions. Lord, help us to make right choices and to look to you and trust in you and realize that you are the Son of God that came as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. And may we look to you and trust in you. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you return with me to hymn number 226. 226.